to desire love. That's, Proverbs indicate, that's just, if you don't desire love from another person, there's something really very wrong. To be acceptable to others. To have a certain competency, which is a little different than success, but the same idea. To be able to do something well, to contribute to those around us with our work. These are simply natural desires that we can find in every human heart. And when those desires are not satisfied, it hurts. But here's the insight that Scripture offers. You see, the nature of those desires is they must always be bounded. They must always be surrounded. Left unattended, desire just instinctively tends to move toward selfish desire, ruling desire, or the word that we would most naturally use, desire moves to need. A desire for approval moves to, I must have approval in order to live. That is the nature of the human heart. A desire for respect, is there something normal about that? I think so. To be treated well by others. But for respect, to move into a need or demand or a right, then you can be guaranteed that this will be a tumultuous family where that need is operative. Here's the nature of the human heart. We're people of desire. But desire must always be held in check. Otherwise, it just naturally grows. And Scripture seems to, one picture Scripture seems to give us of our desires is, it's not the judge who's out there. It's not the giant who's out there. It's the giant inside of us. It's this strong man within, and you're familiar with Scripture on some of these things. These desires that drag us away, these desires that do battle within our own soul. Some of you perhaps are familiar with, years ago, there was a body of literature that would talk about the child within, and it would make sense. But men and women, there is a strong man within you. A really strong man, and their desires that have moved into needs, their desires that have moved into things that you must have in order to live. That's the nature of the human heart. The distinction between you want something, but you need it. For example, if I want the approval of my wife, I want it, and for some reason I don't receive it. If I simply want it, it's ouch, it hurts. But I go back and I say, well, you know, sure, what's up? Is there something I've done that has bothered you? Is there something? You know, it seems like you're a bit prickly. What's happening? That would be, I think, a natural expression of. Of course, we want approval. And it's not happening in the context of the marriage, so you want to sort it out. But if I need the approval of my wife, if I'm not getting that particular approval, I am dominated. And in my own tendency to be controlled by that, to need that from her, is very sadly, anything would be sad here, but for me, it tends to be to retreat, to be cool, this is horrible to say, to turn away, because she didn't give me what I need for life. And it would be a kind of discipliner. It's horrible. It's embarrassing to say such things. The other possibility, of course, is that you lash out in anger because you need something from that person and haven't given it to you. When our desires aren't satisfied, it hurts. When our needs aren't satisfied, when the strong man exerts himself in our soul, it possesses us. And despair or anger tend to be common expressions. The strong person within, the one who lives for a approval, the one who must have it in order to live. Before we draw out the implications of what Scripture has said so far, let's just take one other stop. And you know, all Scripture ends up going this direction, doesn't it? Let's look at the man, the human being. Let's consider Jesus Christ through this avenue of the fear of man. Do we anticipate that there was a desire to be part of the group? Desire to love. Do we anticipate that love was meaningful to Christ? Absolutely. But I was thinking, I think it's Matthew 22, just in one chapter of Scripture, there's the entire chapter is Jesus being tested to expose him. Here is the God and the man who comes to his people on this rescue mission, and he's being held in contempt. And he engages kindly with these Pharisees, with these leaders. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's what the man does. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. It's not that he was indifferent to the insults, to the disapproval, the disrespect of those around him, but somehow he wasn't owned by it. Isn't that good news? I wrote a book on these things a number of years ago, and so it should be disturbing to some of you who know that. Why is he still struggling with these same things? Well, we grow, and we grow gradually, granted. But isn't it nice that the man, somehow, the strong man never showed up, somehow needs, never grew to these burgeoning demands on others? I guess a question would be, well, what did Jesus need then? What did he need? How might Scripture answer that? His food was to do his Father's will. That seems to be his most prominent need. And it just so happens that the giants of the land couldn't keep him from doing his Father's will. That was his only question. What is my Father's will now as I am being insulted, as I'm being disrespected, as I'm being tested, as the God who is being tested by underlings?